listening to the Cobras and Fire podcast, part of the Decibel Geek podcast network, featuring special guest, formerly of Enough's Enough, Donnie V. We talk and find out that he found a new thing.
You just call me Donnie.
All right. Yeah. Well, I would like to welcome Donnie V to the program. Donnie was, of course, in Enough's Enough for a long time, and right now you're kind of doing a solo thing. You have a new album coming out in November here, Beautiful Things. I would like to ask you one question right out of the gate, because for the last few years, there's been an awful lot of rumor and speculation. Can you just tell us how you're doing?
How am I doing?
Yeah. How's it going, Donnie?
Pretty good for my age. All things considered, I'm a tank. I guess I'm good.
All right.
A lot better than I used to be doing.
Okay.
Tell you that. older though, unfortunately, you know, but it's never too late, they say.
I had a chance to do some research and prep for this, and I was reminded of the video that you made a while back called Rat on a Phone. It was kind of a parody of a Monkees tune, and it seemed like watching the video you were taking a dig at a former bandmate, Chips Enough.
I have no idea what you're talking about. That's the beauty of like my Alzheimer's. That's just started to catch in a little bit, so. No, I don't even know what you're talking about. Rat on a Phone. What a terrible name for a song.
So you can't elaborate at all on my theory?
Yeah, just too much time in my hands.
Okay.
You know, too much time in my hands. That's basically it. And maybe a couple of bugs crawl up my ass. But that's about it.
All right.
It is what it is. It's all in fun, you know?
Yeah, no, I definitely thought it was funny.
You're the guy.
Yes, it was me. I was the one thumbs up on YouTube.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, of course not. Well, your new record, Beautiful Things, it comes out this November. You put the project together through Pledge Music, and I heard the record today for the first time, and I saw the album cover where you're actually incorporating photos of the people who contributed into the art itself.
Well, I mean, I can't speak for the whole industry or the whole business or anything, but the Pledge thing seemed to be the most viable option for me at this point, because, you know, it's obvious. There's one conclusion I've come to is that I'm making this music for, you know, my friends and fans, you know, who I've known, and they've constantly kept me going, you know, and so. When you start, as far as little labels and stuff like that, I couldn't even have made this record with, train going by. I couldn't even have made this record on the budget of a smaller label or something like that, like I'm used to.
Okay.
And, you just make it on your laptop, so you're going to use that much money and, you know, keep it. Use that for cigarettes and whatever else it takes you to get through making the fucking record, you know. But no, I couldn't have made it like that. So I just threw it out there, you know. It wasn't, you know, I mean, I would have done something one way or the other. But it was a really pleasant surprise. Yeah, they were very supportive. And, you know, and so now we're doing it together and eliminating all as much of the middlemen as we can, and try to grasp on a little bit to modern technology and what they're doing, how to promote and push things like that. I'll still never figure that shit out, but sure, we can hire somebody that will. But it worked out really well. And when it came time for the cover, thinking about, you know, what are we going to put for a cover and things, you know, it's like my ideas are usually pretty stupid and 12 years old, you know? So I figured, could have a picture of, like, you know, our dog taking a shit or something that I would, you know, that I would put on there. Or how about, let's just, you know, what would be more beautiful than what the people who we made this record for, or made this record together with, think is beautiful. And it sure the hell was. It sure came out of, you know, I don't have a whole lot of great, I'm a master of bad ideas. You know what I mean? But every once in a while you get lucky with one. And that really, I haven't found a way to fuck that up yet.
Very cool. You know, from a perspective of mine, let's say, you sort of disappeared for a while, and then about a year ago, you kind of popped up on social media, on Facebook, and shortly after that, you kind of announced that you'd be doing this kind of thing. Was there, you may have tipped your hat on the answer to this question. It doesn't sound like maybe you're very technologically connected, and did you struggle with social media at all, or it seems like you dove right in.
Yeah, I struggle with social media. I struggle with any kind of media or anything social. I always have, you know. I'm kind of, I don't know. Here's my little sister here. You could say that, you know, unless it comes to the God-given talent, gift that I was given, when it comes to anything else, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So, you know.
But you're definitely self-deprecating.
Well, self-defecating, what does that mean?
No,
that
boy. Sounds,
uh-oh.
You're okay. Fitting right in.
Whatever,
man.
You say, you're the college scholar.
You don't take it this too far now. How did your storyteller gig go this last weekend?
Actually, surprisingly, very well. I was really really surprised and really happy. It's been a while, and it was just one big love fest, you know?
How are you with, like, the people having cell phones in attendance? Is that something that you just allow to happen, or?
It's not something you can't, you don't allow anything to happen. Things happen. You can say, hey, listen, you know, I appreciate that, you'd be cool with this, put your phones away and just enjoy the night, you know, you'll take pictures at some point. But, I kind of like to focus on, hitting the notes and singing the songs and this and that, then how I look doing it every second of every song, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you know how it is. You get all that stuff out there, it's oversaturated with crap and bad angles and bad sound, stuff like that. But it is what it is. And I guess anybody that has the right to say, hey, listen, don't be doing it and can afford that app that locks everybody's phones, I'm just gonna have to really, really do a good job.
I said, do you make any?
It went well, huh? What's that?
Do you make any type of formal requests, like, hey, you know, I'd appreciate it if you kind of just sat and enjoyed the evening, or?
Well, right in general, everybody knows that I can't stand the damn camera. I never could.
Okay.
You know, it's always been a big thing for me. I don't know what that is. It's issues and baggage and stuff. And so I said, yeah, you know, I really appreciate you guys keeping your, you know, keep your phones hanging down and, you know, let's enjoy the night and let's do our thing here together. And if somebody else wants to see it, well, they can come to the next one or okay. Wherever, you know, it's not like the only one I'm going to do. I'm going to, you know.
Right. And that was in Chicago. I assume you're still kind of based out of the Chicago area. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'm back into Chicago. I've been out of Chicago for quite some time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been. I left Chicago in, I don't know, maybe early 2000s. Went to California, then I've been in New York and Texas and Tennessee, and, you know, God knows, a rehab, jail, all kinds of shit since then. Yeah, but it's finally back here, and really doesn't matter, you know, kind of where I'm at. I am a Chicago boy. I'm just here because I'm, you know, with family finally for the first time in my life. Is, you know, my lifestyle hasn't lent itself to any kind of family relationships that were worth a shit, you know what I mean? And just, that's kind of basically the reason for it here.
You mind if I ask why you ended up leaving Enough's Enough this last time?
Sure, I don't mind. If I remember correctly, they fired me.
Okay. For some reason, I thought Chip had said something that made it sound like you were just, you didn't want to tour anymore and you left the band. I don't know that I'm quoting. I want to be clear. That's how I remember it. I could be 100%
okay,
wrong.
Okay, well, you got that and you got this. So you can, now you got two sides.
Okay. Well, what did they fire you for? Were you?
I just didn't see any point in that. Was a very toxic and demoralizing lifestyle for me. Where that had gone. To the point that it had gone, and all of my personal issues and everything, you know, just weren't that environment and frame of mind did not lend itself to renewing your spirituality or health or anything. And it's like, you know, finally, what's the point of that? You know, just, but then you get to a point, you know, and plus I was, you know, I got healthier again and a lot of things. And, you know, I realized, well, what the fuck else am I going to do? So, you know, I'll do this. But, yeah, now that I'm not coming to town with the circus anymore because I can't handle it.
Okay.
And it's really not my bag anyway. That's never really been my kind of cup of tea that I felt comfortable doing.
You're talking like touring?
Well, touring, I mean, it's one thing to tour if there's a reason to tour. It's another thing to tour to get out there and you know, with your nose to the grindstone, all you're doing is grinding off your nose. You know what I mean? That's doesn't make any sense. You're not making any money. All you're doing is killing yourself.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're out there, or Chip's out there. I mean, he's the only guy left from the band, you know, he's out there. And so, I mean, you got a live Enough's Enough concert that'll be out there with the other cock rock bands that you can see. And there's that. And then if you want to chill out and you're a fan of the songs and my voice and stuff like that, you can come and see what I'm cooking up, you know.
So like the show you just did, was it just you performing with an acoustic, a piano, anything?
Acoustic and a grand piano, yeah.
Okay.
And well, I had a little bit of help from an old nemesis.
Oh, who's that?
Johnny Monaco.
He's on the record, right?
Yeah, Mini Me. Huh?
He's on your new record, right?
He actually is playing a couple tracks on the new record.
I saw his name and I'm like, he replaced you in Enough's Enough at one point, right?
He did.
All right, so I'm not totally stupid.
Twice he did it to me. See, but I don't learn. See, I still sign anything. I still trust everybody.
Well, I take it it's water under the bridge for the both of you at this point?
Oh, it's there's never been really an issue. You know what I mean? It's all in fun. It's like just like the jabs back and forth with you know, my you know, the shit I talk, you know, that's just the way it is. If any of you know, Vic or, you know, well, Ricky's gone and Derek's gone, and you know, but those guys, Chip or anybody like that, it's all hugs, and we pick right up where we saw each other last.
Okay. Even Chip, huh? You're on good terms with him, you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's you know, Chip taught me how to rock. He was my big brother. Yeah, all the greatest things I've ever done and seen I did with him, you know, and we just have different agendas, and it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of years we've been out there beating around a bush, and he's doing what he wants to do, and I'm doing what I want to do, and
cool. So
you know, he's got his thing without me, and I got my thing without him, and you know, we both seem to be happy. If anybody ever, it's like a lightning bolt came flying out of Zeus's ass and hit the earth and said, hey, listen, enough's enough, accidentally got a song in something. You know, and you guys, hey, there's a blah, blah, blah. You know, hey, sure, I'll fucking slide right back into my spot. I'd be an idiot if I wouldn't, but only I haven't seen that happen in my whole 74 years I've been alive, you know.
Let's not forget that. So back to the show you just played, were you playing basically covering your entire career? Because you've done a lot of solo stuff, too. Was it?
Well, There's a lot of stories. I mean, you know, it's been a while, so I had a lot of, you know, and I'm a windbag too, as you can't probably get noticed by now. When I start talking shit, I forget what the fuck I'm talking about. I get off onto these things. I could have just sat there and talked all night, and I think that a lot of people would have been happy with a night of just that, you know, because it's crazy. It's a lot of crazy shit went down through my life and stuff, and these people they've all been there for a lot of it and been included in most of it. And, I tried to touch on to as much stuff as I could. I, there's so many songs you can't, there's so many, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I really can't hardly even get to touching on to the new stuff yet till that's out. But I did one new one. And
okay. I was going to ask that.
I did that piano one, you know, that one Fly. Yeah.
Track 5.
I did that and they liked it. But, yeah, we had a, you know, there's a bunch that it ran, you know, it ran its time, and it was, you know, we didn't get as many songs out as I wanted to, but that's the beauty of we're all still alive. We'll do it again.
Right on. Let's let's talk about the new record, Beautiful Things. I got a press release, but I don't see a release date. Is it still pending, or?
Well, we were just waiting on, between you and me, just they got these, I don't even know why we're still dicking around with CDs, because nobody even owns a CD player anymore. But for some reason, the artwork for those, when it comes down to, you know, we're doing everything in-house now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes down to that, when you got a plan, and then next thing you know, hey, for $50 more, we can get more of them with a 12-page book. So now we got 12-page book to figure out. And, you know, and I got the really, really good artists, Jose Mendez and Lee Stokes, and they've been hustling and busting ass, and really, really, really thankful, really lucky I got those guys. And it's just like everybody that's involved in this thing, just nearly everybody, the circle is all, it's such a positive and encouraging vibe and you know, to circle to surround me, that as it hasn't been, that's kind of been a very pretty lonely kind of existence that I've led, you know, as far as being in my head and being with all my issues and everything, and just trying to keep positive, you know.
Sure. You think it'll still make it out in November?
Oh yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I just before you called, just gave the sign of approval on the shit, and just said, all right, it's cool. Just take me out of that one picture with the one guy that looked like shit there, and that's good, and I'm good with it.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's all ready to roll.
Well, like I've listened to it a couple times earlier today. It sounds amazing. Very well produced. The one thing that when you listen to it from beginning to end, it definitely has that you are listening to an album. You know what I mean? The song sequencing, you know, it seems very deliberate, if that's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, it was. The whole damn thing, I just got to say, I got real lucky because, you know, I mean, just dipping my toes back into the whole idea of doing this shit again after making the decision that I'm done doing this, because this is all this does is kill me. And, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just not a whole lot of a point in it. But I got, once I started dabbling back at it, and I Could Save the World is the very first song I had written in like 3-4 years. And I was like, well, looks like maybe something's happening here, you know, and that's kind of, I've always considered, that's basically what my purpose here on the earth is to take what God, or the, for lack of a better word, or where the energies that be, and throw it in my face, that just I have to interpret it and try not my best not to fuck it up.
I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, so I hooked back up with a guy that did some of my favorite tracks in Enough's Enough back in like the Tweaked album. His name was Mike Tholen, and we just started talking, and we decided to try a couple, and we got together, and that's when we launched the pledge, and we said, I got a record here, and before you know it, I had more than a record. And this guy, it's magic. It's magic. All of the song ideas came like magic, like the parts and the colors and the tastes and the flavors and the players that played on it and everything. All everybody's contribution. It's just like it's watching somebody go abracadabra and boom. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like crazy, and everything sounds so good. And Mike is as good at what he does as taking what I'm hearing in my head, or, you know, hacking out on whatever instrument and making it come out the speakers. And he was even very, you know, he even agrees. He says, this was magical what happened there, you know? And so the flow of the song list, the set list on the record, just kind of, you know, I listen to where the song wants to be, what it wants to be, where it wants to take me. And the same thing happened with the record cover, with the flow of the record, with everything, right down to talking to you, sir.
Yeah, and I definitely, I can tell you from my perspective, you know, I think you accomplished that. When you listen to it, the first song sounds like you're starting a record, and then even all the way to the end with Back from Blue, it it really makes you feel like you've completed a journey through the album, you know, without sounding too corny.
it was a journey, you know.
How many songs did you write for this, by the way?
Well, for this, you know, I mean, I can't say how many I wrote for this. I wrote probably about four or five that out of what I had written, maybe six, seven that didn't make it. And then, you know, there's always a couple you write once you've started the record that, you know, cause you get into that creative zone. A lot of really the best ones I've ever written were, you know, waiting for somebody to mix something. I'm there in the studio with nothing to do and there's a piano or something and you're in that creative thing, that energy. But, I started writing, you know, they started getting better and better and better. And, you know, you have to weed out which ones that it's hard to decide which one doesn't to, you know, cause it ain't like, you know, I don't propose every idea I have. I only propose that, you know, I only pitch like the really good ones. And so there's really good stuff that didn't make it, but then I started writing even better shit. So the next record is going to, if there is one, you know, and which there will be as long as I'm alive and there's a reason to make one, is even going to be cooler, you know, just the next step. But
you always kind of, everything you do or release out there always has a bit of a Beatles vibe to it. I think you've copped to that from basically the beginning. But I don't know if you're familiar with the band from the early 90s called Jellyfish. I kind of felt a little bit of that in this record. It had that kind of upbeat, poppy, you know, sound.
Maybe that's because the guy from Jellyfish is playing on it.
Which one?
Roger.
Okay.
Roger's in piano on keywords.
All right.
Piano and keyboards, and I could save the world.
Wow. I didn't.
It's the only one. It was at the last minute that we kind of put that together, you know, and for the deal that we got and for results that we got, I do believe that I will be having Roger Joseph Manning Jr. playing a lot more shit. It's a good investment. Money well spent, you know. You could buy an 8-ball, or you get Roger Joseph Manning playing a tune. I mean, so I'm glad that I have that money now.
Yeah, because you can take it with you. Yeah,
right.
An 8-ball doesn't last quite as long as a song.
No, an 8-ball what anymore? I don't even want to talk.
Yeah. Okay.
It has been so long for that shit, and I can truly say, yuck.
Well,
yeah, everything that comes with that. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I kind of touched on the opening track, Beautiful Things. Plain Jane, it sounds like you're speaking of a very specific person. Is that accurate?
No.
Okay, so it is.
No, those days.
I can't tell when you're fucking
specific.
With me anymore.
No, I'm not. Plain Jane is, you know, kind of a... excuse me. Chokan soup. No, Plain Jane is just, you know, one of those double meaning type things.
Okay.
Of course, you can then take a genius, you know, last chorus or whatever I say in there. You know, of course, you know, Jane or whatever. But, you know, everybody writes songs about the hot chick. You know, and that's not saying that the chick next door is not hot.
Sure.
You know, most of the time, those are the ones that are the keepers, you know. The bimbos, everybody writes tunes about the bimbos. They ain't worth a shit. So you got that, you know? And I don't know. It's like I say, the songs kind of write themselves. I didn't really have a choice in that title or what it was about. It's just the way it came to me.
All right. You kind of leaked or released it as a signal or a single. Kind of hard to tell with the way the industry has changed. But I Could Save the World came out about a month ago, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's just, we haven't released it as anything yet. It just came out as to some interviews and things like that or whatever. I forget what it was, you know, some classic rock magazines or whatever they are, and they post it, you know. We haven't released single. I think unfortunately, we're going to have to need to, you know, nowadays you need a video, so we're going to have to figure that out. So we're figuring it all out.
You're not a fan of doing videos?
Not a fan of taking pictures in general, but I'm definitely not a fan of making some piece of shit thing that looks like a fucking piece of shit thing, like dog and a bone or whatever you're talking about. Correction. I mean rat on a phone. That's what I mean. I didn't
I think you said what you meant and meant what you said.
No, I don't know. No, I didn't. I'm not taking any more jabs. There's no reason to.
No, I got you. Yeah. Hey, look, I'm just having fun here. I'm not trying to start.
Yeah, hey, me too. Yeah, right. Me too, but don't, you know, I'm trying, I'm working on a whole new thing now, so don't kill it.
Okay.
Be nice, be positive. Right on.
All right. Well, on a positive note, I really enjoyed the song Whatever. The beginning guitar riff kind of had a back to a Beatles thing. It was like almost reminded me of their cover of the Roy Clark song, Act Naturally.
What did?
Whatever. Not the song, just the little bit
whatever.
A little bit of the guitar riff at the beginning.
Yeah, that's my story song, you know. I always got to throw one of them in once in a while.
Yeah.
Just a story song. I always had that little idea in my head and never could figure anything out to do with it, and I kind of did. And I like it.
I didn't find a single song on the album that I didn't care for, but my highlights were Beautiful Thing, Plain Jane, Whatever, and Back from the Blue. Any ones that stick out to you as kind of something that you're more attached to?
No, it's like, you know, how if you had children and I asked you, you know, is there, you know, I like those four kids of yours, and the other ones, you know, they're blah, 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 and I don't like them as much. Is there any one of those kids that you like more than all the rest of your children?
I'd
so
say
you, you know, you can't really. Yeah, so they're all something for something. They're little lives, you know.
Sure.
I think once you create them, they're little lives.
Okay, well, so you they are your children. You can't pick a favorite. You're saying,
well, they're mine and God's children, aren't we all? We're all pink inside.
You gonna do a type of any type of touring gonna happen with this?
Touring?
Yeah.
Everything that we plan to do with, you know, quality and logical and sensible moves. So we're taking it as it comes and try not to, you know, stumbling down any of the roads of old buffoonery and last you know, history, you know. And so I got a good circle, a good team, good mm-hmm. family, and it's just, we'll see what happens next. You know, taking it with these little acoustic things starting out, and we'll see what happens, you know. You just definitely don't need to be throwing me on some, you know, van or on a bus somewhere going to Council Bluffs, Iowa on a Tuesday, because that's not healthy for me. Mm-hmm. So, well, you know, it's just, we'll probably just the intent is just to do shows right now.
Okay.
And then just everything else comes out of necessity.
Fair enough.
Okay. I'll see you at home. All right. Bye. I'm excited. That was my sister. She was meeting me at the train, but she's leaving. She has to take Elvis trick or treating.
Oh, yeah. Happy Halloween, by the way.
Thank you.
It's my anniversary today.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. I'm just kidding. Congratulations. How many years?
11 years.
Well, you made it four past the crazy seven.
Yeah. Is that the crazy time? You got to get past that. You're all right.
Well, that, and you got to learn to never say or do anything you want to do. then you guys might see 50 years, you know, and be sitting there.
Oh, my God. That's it, you're not married?
Not anymore. I never been good at taking advice.
Oh, well.
You know, I didn't take it.
There is that.
Wasn't for me, at least not at that time. And I'd have to say that's on me. Who could fucking be married to me? especially under the circumstances that.
Yeah.
A considerable portion of my existence.
All right. Well, what's next for Donnie V? The album comes out sometime this month.
Yeah, that it should probably be out in like in a week or two. And next is Whatever You and my friends and my fans and everything have in store for me.
All right.
I'm just following, just kind of, you know, make the next good step and, you know, try to do it down the right path. And hopefully, you know, you put enough stuff together and you've gotten somewhere, you know. We'll see what happens.
Well, I wish you all the best with the project. I think it's an amazing record. I do think people are going to like it. I kind of like the I like the approach to a lot of the stuff you're doing right now. It's kind of like you're settling into who you are right now as opposed to trying to hold on to something. I think a lot of bands, especially from that 80s, you know, era, you guys are more late 80s, I know, but you know what I'm talking about, where they kind of try to cling to the one thing for too long as opposed to grow as an artist.
Well, that's the kind of thing that puzzles me a little bit when there's the ones that think, well, that's good, and this is good, too. I'm like, well, what was I even thinking through all those years, you know? Because it's like I'm still just basically doing what I do. It's just a little easier to do it, and I can express my vision clearer, mm-hmm. you know? Because and like I said, I don't feel like it's my vision. These things, the only reason I always have been bitter or had problems with a record or this and that is because of things that were out of my control that I don't feel were in the best interest of the song or what happened, you know? And so my only recourse was to dull the edges, dull the senses and deal with it, you know? And I just get to a point where just like, well, you know, the only reason I'm doing this is to make this music, is to bring this into the world. So, you know, it's not like I'm making any money or anything. Why am I putting up with all this shit?
Sure.
And so, I wish I would have done this or done that, but you know, like, I mean, this is one thing I should have been doing a long time ago.
It sounds like it's where you're at now. That's the best way I could put it.
Well, yeah, you don't hear songs about crawling around under a table, smoking rice anymore. You know, we put a spin on that.
Yeah.
Now the song's about you used to sit under the table smoking.
Yeah, see, it's progress.
And look what it did to you.
It's a path. Well, thank you so much for your time. The album, Beautiful Things, comes out in about a week or so. It's going to be, find it in November. We'll definitely share a link on all our media. I know a lot of people that follow our show and Decibel Geek are big fans of Enough's Enough and Donnie V. So
thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking your time to be interested in, you know, let people know. I really am thankful and thank you for that. Everything went well. You can edit out any windbagging.
No. It's all very good. I looked forward to talking to you because you're very entertaining and forthright and funny.
I'm a sucker for. Oh, you got you. I'm easy to lead.
Okay.
I'm the horse. You lead me to anything, I'll drink it.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.